Welcome to Supersized Science, where we feature research and discoveries nationwide, enabled by advanced computing technology and expertise at the Texas Advanced Computing Center of the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jorge Salazar, a science writer at TAC. A planet about 950 light-years from Earth could be the Looney Tunes' Yosemite Sam equivalent of planets, blowing its atmospheric top in spectacular fashion. The planet called HAT-P-32b is losing so much of its atmospheric helium that the trailing gas tails are among the largest structures yet known of an exoplanet, that is, a planet outside our solar system, according to observations by astronomers. Three-dimensional simulations on the Stampede 2 supercomputer of the Texas Advanced Computing Center help model the flow of the planet's atmosphere, based on data from the Hobby-Eberle Telescope of the University of Texas at Austin's McDonald Observatory. The scientists hope to widen their planet observing net and survey 20 additional star systems to find more planets losing their atmosphere and learning about their evolution. On the line to talk more about it is Zhuxian Zhang, a postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Astronomy and Astrophysics at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Dr. Zhang, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Can you tell us about the main findings of a study that was recently published by your team on a planet called HAT-P-32b?
Yeah, it's a happy 32b. It's a hot Jupiter. It's like hotter than our Jupiter. That's how it got the name. And also it's pretty close to the star, and it's pretty hot, like because the radiation it receives from the star is pretty hot, like large and inflated. So what we found is like we have monitored this planet and the whole star with a long time series kind of spectroscopy just to try to observe the star and planet over a couple of nights. And then what we found is like there's a kind of large, gigantic helium gas that is associated with the planet. But that is like the tail is pretty large and it's losing and escaping from the planet. Yeah. So, and the size is large. It's like if we convert it into the size of the planet radius, it could be 53-ish times the planet radius. So it's huge kind of gas associated with the planet that is kind of losing. Yeah. The main motivation is like if when we study the population and the demographics of the planets, we see like there's some kind of holes and some empty area in the parameter space. And it's an area called Neptunian desert. It's like there's a part, if we look at the like a separation and the mass of the planet, all of the kind of planets are kind of spanning a certain area in this space. But there's certain area that like when the planet is pretty close to star with like a Jupiter-like mass or Neptune-like mass, there are not so many planets in that area. It's like kind of missing. So the main question is like why there's an empty or a desert of the planets that area. So one of the kind of potential explanations like maybe the planets are losing the mass. So it's like they're losing mass from the atmosphere. So that when they kind of cross the area, they lose so much kind of mass, and then they become lower and lower mass, and they leave this kind of desert and become lower mass planets. So that's kind of one explanation to explain why there are not so many planets observed in that desert. So it's like it's important to basically study how the planets lose their mass. And the most direct way to do that is like if we can really capture some planets in the process of losing their atmospheres, then we can really study like how fast the planets are losing their mass and what are the mechanisms that cause their atmosphere to escape from the planets. So it's good to have some kind of examples for us to see like this kind of process that in action. And the happy 32b is like that we study is important here is because like we are basically conducting a survey for several hot Jupiters in the solar neighborhood. It's like we want to try to see like just for each system, we monitor them with a long time and then obtain their spectrum and then try to see like which planet is losing their mass and have escaping atmosphere. And happy 32b basically stands out in our sample. It's like it lost a lot of like atmosphere based on the signal. It's pretty strong and pretty extended. So that's how like it catch our attention here. Yeah. And in the meanwhile, it's like the way that people discover this kind of escaping atmosphere is something like this. It's like, it's to use a technique called transmission spectroscopy. So the way it does, it works, is like the star is like this and the planet is orbiting that. And there's a period of the time that the planet is orbiting in front of the star. That is just in between our line of sight, between us and the star. So it's basically blocking some part of the starlight. So the way we discover them is like, if we look at the star brightness, then it's pretty stable, pretty stable, pretty stable. But then when the planet transits, there's a dip. And then it's stable again. So it's like the dip happens when the planet is orbiting in front of the star. So what we do is like we keep monitoring the star until the planet transits. And if we see there are any different absorption features that's shown in the spectra when the planet transits, that means these features are likely caused by the planet. So what we see in our data is like when the planet is nearly transiting the star, we see there's more kind of helium absorption lines. So the helium absorption is stronger than what we expect from the stellar photosphere. So that means this excess helium absorption should be caused by the planet atmospheres. It's like when the planet is transiting, its atmosphere is so huge that it blocks some part of the atmosphere that absorbs the heat and light, and that causes this kind of excess absorption. So that's how we kind of discover the Happy 32b as an interesting planet.
Could you speak to some of the modeling that you did? This hot Jupiter planet, HAPP-32b,
the main motivation is like we have observational data, which is beautiful, and we want to explain it. And the way that we do is to run the models. And I'm not the modeling lead. So the lead of the modeling part is by Morgan MacLeod and Antonia Oklopczyk. So they are both researchers from CFA. And like Morgan is a researcher from Center for Astrophysics in University, like Harvard University, SAO. So like they are using all the resources that they are accessible to do the 3D hydrodynamic simulation. So it's like, it's really complicated to do this simulation because first, actually the 3D modeling are kind of rare in this kind of field to explain the planet atmosphere. People are doing that, but it could be really computationally expensive because like unlike the 1D modeling is already kind of complicated, but 3D, we have more kind of free parameters that people can use to explain the data. It's like, what are the outflowing kind of geometry of the stellar wind, and what are the outflowing gas of the planet, and what are the temperature of the outflowing gas from the planet, and what is the orbit of the planet? And all of these kind of parameters will control or impact our resulting observations. So in this work, it's like, so you can think about like the ideal way is to do like a large grid search. It's like we're varying different kind of all of these kind of parameters and try to take a look at the prediction from the 3D hydrodynamic simulation and then compare the model with the data in order to see like which combination of the parameter can best reproduce the data. And then that kind of combination of the parameters could be something we use to interpret our planet. So in our work, we are still not yet doing a thorough search of the grid parameter space because that is really computationally expensive. So what we do is we try to, like Morgan and Antonia, they are trying to tune the parameters to see like at what kind of combination right now we can sort of reproduce the data. But the next step is definitely trying to do a thorough or more sophisticated model and to fit the data and try to see the model prediction. Yeah. So it's like overall, I want to summarize, it's like the 3D simulation needs a lot of parameters. And that means we need a lot of time to generate the simulation and the predicted data. So that's why like I think the supercomputer will be definitely needed for this kind of work. I think in our paper, we use a TAG resource, especially for the HPF data reduction. So it's like, it's a data reduction for the habitable zone planet finder spectral graph on the HET. So I think the best person to comment on this will be Greg Simon, who is also affiliated in UT Austin. I think he and collaborators are making use of the TAC in order to like constantly reducing the data produced by the HET, which is a 10-meter telescope. So it's like the data keep coming, and we really need like the large resource like this to kind of reduce the data. Because like in our case, we need a high spectral resolution. So it's not R100. So in our case, it's like several 10,000. So it's like there are a lot of information here, rich information in the data. And there are, that means there are also a lot of like systematics that we have to care about in terms of the data reduction. So I think they have make use of the tech to for the HPF data reduction. So in these words, like the computational power is really needed for the reduction of our observations.
What's the most important thing you'd like the public to know about using supercomputers to understand planets beyond those in our solar system?
Yeah, I would say like I'm not the expert on the solar system planets, but I will expect to see like if we like the interpretation of the observations really need the perspective from the models. And the previous efforts have developed really kind of sophisticated 1D models. And we can expect like the planet is 3D, like there are more kind of effects for the planets. One of the direction of the field is definitely try to develop more sophisticated models, like incorporate like 3D effects, like the mixing of the atmosphere, some kind of winds of the within the atmosphere from day side to night side, some kind of complicated structures and processes. And so the ideal way to analyze the solar system planets and also exoplanets is really try to use these sophisticated models and compare with the data. And if we have, it's not easy and not trivial to get these kind of 3D models. Otherwise, they have been already created long time ago, right? So it's definitely now the time to have the supercomputers, to have the computational power to make this happen. So I think the theory there are already some kind of theory advances that we need the computer to make the real prediction and to explain the data. So I think that's the important role of the supercomputer, to bridge the model and the data.
You've been listening to Zhujian Zhang of UC Santa Cruz. Supersized Science is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world, brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the hosts and not of the University of Texas at Austin. For the Texas Advanced Computing Center, I'm Jorge Salazar.